Amid everything else, it's Jobs Day. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. In just shy of a couple hours, the Labor Department's going to let us know how many jobs the U.S. gained in the past month. Economists are expecting 180,000 jobs created. That'd be a slowdown from February. The unemployment rate is expected to stay unchanged at 4.7%. Harry Holzer is a professor of public policy at Georgetown University and a former chief economist at the Labor Department. He says one of the items many people are following closely in this report is wage growth.
Recently, wage growth has been about 3% on an annualized basis. You know, since inflation is still a little under 2%, that's a nice kick for workers and their earnings. But I think at this point, most people see a pretty solid labor market. So that should show up in pretty good payroll growth, steady unemployment, maybe a little bit of increase in labor force participation, and wage growth, hopefully in that 3% range on an annual basis.
And with that, let's do the numbers we do have. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures all fell sharply yesterday on news the Trump administration launched airstrikes in Syria. But those losses have partially recovered. Now they're all down a little less than a tenth of a percent. Gold and U.S. Treasuries are two places investors put money when they're scared, and they've gone up in value. Gold is up 1%. The yield on the 10-year note has been squeezed to 2.32%. And over the next few weeks, many companies will report their numbers, their earnings, for the first time since Donald Trump was elected president. This means we're going to see if the hard data out there in the real economy backs up the surge in optimism we saw on Wall Street after the election. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Analysts anticipate first quarter earnings for S&P 500 companies grew 9.1% from last year. That would be the strongest growth since 2011. Why so optimistic? Elizabeth Collins at Morningstar says rising commodity prices, for one.
A lot of the positive momentum has to do with recovery in markets such as basic materials, energy, and financial services.
There's also a lot of soft data pointing towards a stronger economy. For example, consumer confidence is higher than it's been in 16 years. Sarah Hunt is a research analyst at Alpine Funds.
So I think that there are some reasons to expect earnings to be better, but whether or not they're going to be as much better as people expect is still up in the air.
In December, analysts were actually forecasting more than 12% growth. Managing expectations is key, says Hunt.
There is a trend to revise those earnings so that when they actually come, companies end up beating them.
Ultimately, investor confidence hinges not only on quarterly earnings, but on what companies are predicting for the year ahead. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
This week, we've been exploring the ways American jobs are coming into competition with machines, artificial intelligence, algorithms, and robots. Next week, David Brancaccio is driving through a swath of the Midwest in search of robot-proof jobs. Ahead of that, here's David now from Pittsburgh on efforts to help robots and humans coexist peacefully.
Why don't you try and sweep a leg?
Howie Choset and Matt Travers, professors at Carnegie Mellon's Biorobotics Lab, are egging me on. They want me to try to do battle with their robot here to make a point about peaceful coexistence. But kick its legs?
Yeah. Oh, like, all right. So, hey.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
It's just a collection of anodized aluminum and servos, but it still seems wrong. Furthermore, what if this six-legged crab-like device the size of a spare tire holds a grudge? See, the thing doesn't get mad. It yields to the human touch. This is about how these engineers envision the role of robots in the workplace.
A teammate as opposed to a tool is really sort of the jargon.
This lab has come up with robot components that snap together into different shapes for different duties. These are powerful tools, customizable, but maybe more importantly, they're cooperative.
In parallel, part of my job is to create robots that are easier to use.
This is something robot engineers talk a lot about, maybe out of guilt, but certainly out of conviction. They believe deeply that their innovations don't replace humans, they work with them. And there's a lot of research right now trying to figure out how to optimize this human-robot tango. Anka Dragan is an artificial intelligence researcher at UC Berkeley.
It's a little bit like a dance where you usually have a leader and a follower, and sometimes you want the person to be in the lead.
One key issue, it's dangerous if we think a robot is more competent than it really is. Say the robot needs to hand you a sharp or heavy object, it could do so confidently or more slowly. Why does that matter?
You're going to read different things into it depending on the timing. So we found, for instance, that you can make the robot look more hesitant versus very capable, steady, competent.
Safety's got to be at the center of this. The first robot to kill a human is believed to be in 1979 when a one-ton arm accidentally struck a worker at a Ford plant in Flat Rock, Michigan. Today at a tech class for high school students in Lenawee County, Michigan.
I have a couple of robots. This is Baxter.
Teacher Mark Ackerman directs our attention to this new one.
Where this robot here, you can actually stand next to him and do work all day long. So
no old-school protective cage needed for Baxter, even though it's a beast with burly arms. It's rigged to know when to yield, when to back off. So the robots are evolving. Humans also need to change their behavior to thrive with technology piling into the workplace. I'll have my road trip in search of American jobs that technology has a hard time replacing next week on the program. Sabri?
Thank you, David. The series is called Robot Proof Jobs. Also, don't miss David's podcast about all this, which comes next Monday. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report feed where you get your podcasts. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.